so grow and produce.
Give it on to the pastor of this house, Pastor Shannon Long. His beautiful wife, Lady Long. And to the household of faith, deacons, saints, and friends, God bless you on this morning. Grab your Bibles. We're going to the Word. Hallelujah. They don't think I know protocol, Minister Gaddis. I'm very sensitive in the spirit. I can just hear thoughts. I can't help it. Just the way the Holy Ghost made me. But all seriousness, I do not take this opportunity lightly. I didn't even know Pastor Long knew who I was. I was so shocked to get the invitation. I said, I don't know him. But apparently, Abba knows us both, so we're here. So thank you so much for trusting the God in me to be here this morning. I don't take that lightly. God bless you, and happy anniversary to you and beyond measure. You've already heard from one of my bona fide sons, our executive pastor, Prophet Darren Brantley Jr. An awesome man of God. He's been with me almost 6 years, and I thank God that I can travel the country and he holds the house down while I'm gone and doesn't preach heresy when I ain't there and try to turn the people's hearts away while I'm not there. I can trust him, and I thank God for trustworthy sons. There is a word from the Lord. Do I have your permission to read from the Passion Translation, Pastor? Thank you. So you have to understand, you got to ask permission when you're not at home. Don't matter who you are. I'm not an apostle today. I'm a daughter to Pastor Long today. See, you got to know how to submit one to another. The scripture today is coming from Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, I'm going to begin reading at verse number 45, and I'm going to be reading from something that I happen to stumble across by accident, the Passion Translation. After everyone had their meal, Jesus instructed his disciples to get back into the boat and go on ahead of him and sail to the other side of Bethsaida. So he dispersed the crowd, said goodbye to his disciples, then slipped away to pray on the mountain. As night fell, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and Jesus was alone on land. The wind was against the disciples, and he could see they were straining at the oars, trying to make headway. When it was almost morning, Jesus came to them walking on the surface of the water. And he started to pass by them. When they all saw him walking on the waves, they thought he was a ghost and screamed out in terror. But he said to them at once, "Don't yield to fear. Have courage. It's really me. I am." Then he became closer and climbed into the boat with them. And immediately the stormy wind became still. They were completely and utterly overwhelmed with astonishment because they failed to learn the lesson of the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. And their hearts were unwilling to learn the lesson. Oh God. King James, same chapter. Let's go to verse number 51. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. I want you to look at your neighbor. This is the only time I'm going to ask you to talk to your neighbor today. Because I get tired of preachers having me high-five and talking to people through the whole service. Just one time. Neighbor, it's in my name. It's in my name. Father, in the name of Jesus the Christ, we humble ourselves before you, God, as a yielded vessel ready to pour out what you have downloaded. We decree and declare that every ear in this room is fertile soil today. That when this seed being your word is planted, it shall produce a harvest in its season and the fruit shall remain. It is so and it is well in Jesus' name. Amen and thank the Lord. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. It's in my name. In this text of scripture where I begin to read, they had just finished feeding the multitude. Jesus had just performed the miracle of the loaves and the fish. The Bible declares that he took it, he blessed it, he broke it, and he told the disciples to distribute it. And what I find intriguing about that text, Pastor Long, is that the apostles wanted to send the people home to eat. Some people can become so territorial of you, Pastor, they will send people away from you that's assigned to you. And so sometimes what happens is when people become a little territorial and feel entitled because they've been around you a little longer or they got to eat Applebee's with you or whatever, they want to send the people away that need you the most. And so what Jesus did was, well, since you in such a hurry to send them home, y'all finna be their waiters. I'm gonna make you feed them since you wanna send them home. And see, sometimes, Pastor Long, folks wanna get so close to us, don't even realize it's a black light. It's a black light in our spirit, and we can see what they trying to hide. And so what we have to do is kill that entitlement in them and make them servants, not because we need to be served, because they need to learn how to process their salvation. See, contrary to popular opinion, everybody wants to abort a process, but your life is a process. It's funny to me, Prophet Brantley, we'll eat fried bologna sandwiches, but run from process. We'll put hot dogs on the grill, but run from process. We will cook processed food, but won't let the Holy Ghost process us to become food. What you saying, Apostle? What I'm saying is we have to graduate from wanting to be seed to the sower and become bread to the eater. What do you think the Bible means? Present your body a living sacrifice. As you mature in God, if you want to go to the threshing floor, you ain't going just to be grain. We go to the threshing floor to become bread. So I find it intriguing. Pat, I keep calling him this man, Apostle, help me, God. Lord, help me. It's funny to me how we don't understand that they want you to keep feeding them, but never come what feeds others. See, when you make a disciple, what you're saying is, I want to be a disciple. What you're saying is, I want to be a disciplined follower and do what you do. Not be close to you. Jesus came, Lord. Jesus came in this earth, wrapped himself in flesh, walked among them, chose these 12 men to make them become what he needed in the earth so he can go back to his proper place. And beyond message, you got to let your pastor go back to his proper place. Because if you keep him down, he can never be in an elevated place to feed you greater. after this miracle that I just read to you, he told his disciples to get back in the ship and go ahead of him. He went to the mountain to pray. Can you please let Pastor Long go to the mountain and pray? No, I ain't talked to him. He just said, hey, calm my nerves. Pray for me and sent me out the door. We ain't had no conversation, so calm all that down. The Holy Ghost is real. Because the word didn't drop till I was putting on my robe in the office. Right, Evangelist Brantley? What did I tell you when I got here? I don't know what I'm going to preach. Ain't it what I told you? By the time you zipped me up, the word dropped. For the house. So the disciples was walking with Jesus, hanging out with him, gleaning all this great information, but became entitled. Felt entitled. So now they will just send them home, let them eat at home. Jesus said, no, they don't follow us all day long. We must feed their natural needs as well. So when somebody come knock on the door at the church and they tell you that they're hungry, they don't need prayer. They need some pancakes and sausage. Oh, you want to give them vine and sausage and crackers, but you don't even want that when you're hungry. Feed somebody what you want when you're hungry. The church got it twisted. Jesus had a fish fry, but it wasn't to raise money. It was to feed hungry bellies. So he said, I can't let these people go back home and just be hungry naturally. So he said, give me what you got. They brought him 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he blessed it, he broke it, and he told them to distribute it. Now see, Pastor Long, I'm about to get in real trouble. They may put me out after this. So see, the apostles, what we call the highest office in the church, which is another lie, they had to become servants and serve the people. Now, the people got a full meal, but they only got fragments. Oh, you are what you eat. Because, see, their mindset was fragmented. They wanted the people to go back home hungry. So because they have not fully embraced what Jesus was teaching, he let them look in the basket at themselves. It was 12 baskets left over, and the baskets were full of fragments. So if you happen to be struggling, it could be that your mindset needs to be renewed. Jesus is so wonderful. He won't let you starve, but you might not get a full meal today because your mindset is fragmented. So they took up the bed. They had 12 baskets of fragments, one for each one of them that was serving. And so sometimes you have to understand that if you're going to be in leadership, you don't get a full meal all the time. You sacrifice and make sure others have the full meal, and you live off what's left over. But the problem, Pastor Long, is we don't fast. That's why we can't live off a fragment. See, we don't know how to turn our plate down, so when it gets tough and hard, we'll not pay a bill and go to Outback. We'll go to Boost Mobile and pay $3 a day instead of paying the full phone bill and go to Applebee's 2 for $20, because we don't know how to turn our plate down. And some things come through fasting and praying. So he tells them, get on the ship and go ahead of me. And what I find intriguing about this, Pastor Long, he only spoke directly to his disciples. See, Pastor Long, I'm going to help you with the utmost humility. In this season of your life, my son hit it, but I'm going to let him stay where it is. But in this season, you're going to have to decipher who's disciple and who's multitude. Because a disciple will leave everything they got behind and follow you as you follow Christ. They will trust the God in you. They won't bring a second pair of drawers, a second pair of shoes, won't bring no iPhone, won't bring no iPad. Wherever you go, Pastor, I'm going because I trust the God in you. A disciple is not somebody that joined the church and put their name on the roll. A disciple is a disciplined follower of Jesus Christ. Now the multitude, oh, they'll come to the celebrations, they'll come when you're feeding everybody, they'll come when it's an outing, but they won't come to Bible study, they won't come to prayer, they will not participate in the fast, they will not tithe, and they will not give. You hear that holy hush right there? The Holy Ghost is walking all through this building. If you can't say amen, just say ouch. We've all had to say ouch at some point or another. We're not going to judge you. We can, remember? We can. So you have to decipher whose disciple, whose multitude, because you can't pour your oil in a moving vessel. Because what happens is you'll be chasing them and spilling your oil as you go. And then by the time you get to the disciple that really needs it, you'll be so tired, they'll just get fragments when they deserve the fullness of what you have, what you carry. So Jesus spoke to his disciples and said, y'all go get in the boat. Jesus only gives directions to his disciples. He does never talk to renegades. The Holy Ghost showed me last week that he was particular. The scripture says he went amongst his own and they received him not, but as many as received him, to them he gave power. So Jesus is particular. So we cannot be common as disciples of Jesus Christ. Who are you pouring to every week that won't change? And see, I'm not talking about sinners. Sinners do what they do. I'm talking about these church folks you sit on the pew with every week. You done told them, go talk to Pastor Long. They won't talk to him, but keep coming talking to you. And your name keep getting caught up in mess because you will open your mouth and say, leave me alone and go talk to the pastor. See, you can't be a pew pastor. You don't have no grace for that. Because what you're saying is, I'm becoming responsible for that person's soul. That's why I cringe when people say, oh, I know I'm called to the ministry. I cringe because when he called me, I ran. I was like Forrest Gump. I was running and running and running and running and running and running and running. Say hi to Jenny and kept running. Because God does not call people who got it together. If we read this Bible, everybody that he called had issues. So why do we hide ours? He uses imperfect people to perfect his kingdom. I told you in the beginning of this conversation that your life is a process. You are being processed to heaven. Oh, so you thought because you got baptized, so I put some oil on your forehead, gave you a false prophecy that you are secure to get in the gate? No, our life processes. Every test, every trial, every dumb decision we make is part of the process to heaven. Okay, don't get in the ship. They got in the ship. go to Bethesda. And then he sent the people away. Did you catch that, Pastor? He gave directives to his disciples, but he sent the people away. He gave his directives to his disciples, but he sent the multitude away. Because all they wanted was something in their belly to start with. They didn't want revelation. They didn't want impartation. They didn't want correction. Correction, 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 correction. C-O-R-R-E-C-T-I-O-N, correction. We want to be anointed, but not corrected. We want to be affirmed and consecrated and all that stuff. We don't want to be corrected. When you get close to Jesus, he has a black light. When you get close to your pastor, they have a black light. You can say, oh, I'm good, Pastor. They already know you ain't. But if you want to lie about it, they'll just let you lie about it and pray for you till you want to tell the truth. Because the truth makes you free. So when you decide to tell the truth, that's when you become free. Now, I want him to prophesy to me. I want him to call it out. Ain't nobody, you ain't, who are you? Trying to jack the Holy Ghost. Okay. He sent him away and he departed into a mountain to pray. That is so critical, because if you don't allow your leader to stay elevated, he will not hear what you need on the ground. Listen, Lady Gaddis, I could have been Moses, okay? Because he killed some people, went away for a season, came back to rescue a people that wanted to complain, they wanted to trip, wanted to have an attitude, had something to say, had a mouthy sister. And so he hanging around these people so long, he took on their frustration and forgot about his fruitfulness. And so he ended up hitting the rock instead of speaking to the rock. And it cost him not to enter into the promised land. I refuse to be in this earth on my assignment and miss heaven fooling with you. Y'all frustrated. Look, I'm sorry. I'm not Jesus. I ain't been on nobody's cross. I'm too dainty for that. I like stilettos and wigs. I am not going to be a bloody mess for nobody. I like lashes and makeup and lipstick. I ain't been no bloody mess for nobody. So Jesus already did that so I could be a lady, and I'm not going to forfeit my place in heaven fooling with you. Why do you think I'm single? Because I ain't fooling with the devil and miss my place in heaven. See, oh, y'all thought I'm shame. Ain't nobody shame. God protected me from a leech, from an opportunist, from a plot of the enemy. Ain't nobody fooling with these people and gonna miss heaven. And you have to get to that place, because if you don't get to that place, you're gonna miss God again. So here we go. Some of you could have been so much further in business, in life, in ministry, but you done missed God fooling with people who don't want your God. The Bible says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. Oh, you thought that was just marriage. Uh-uh. Marriage is in the Bible so that we can get a proper understanding about how Jesus feels about the church. That's the only reason why it's in there, to help us understand the relationship between Christ and the church. Your BFF don't even love God. Oh, they come to church with you. They jump and shout. They don't love God. They're still getting high. They're still laying up with everybody. And you too scared to tell them that's not the way. Because they're trying to hold you to your past. You got to be careful, Prophetess Jester, about people want to make you feel bad about your past while they're enjoying their present. People will use your past against you to keep your mouth shut. But my Bible declares, whom the Son sets free. I ain't forgot you, Pastor. I'll be back. So he went to the mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea. And he was alone on the land. 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 Thank you. That's significant. You can't be mad at the pastor, because he told you to launch out into the deep, and he at home resting. I'm going to get in trouble. See, you want the pastor to walk you step by step like you 2 years old. You want them to hold your hand and say good job and say you this and say you that. But if he says that to you, it will cripple you. Okay, I'm coming down your row. How many of y'all know somebody who spoils their kids? Give them everything they want. Don't check them on nothing. Make excuses for everything they do. And now they in trouble. They want the church to intervene. You ain't got to say amen. I'm a church baby. I done seen it all. The Bible says spare the rod, spoil the child. So, you have to allow this man of God to be alone sometime. And pastor has to take some alone time sometimes. Love the life, sir. But you have to just sit down somewhere alone so you can hear, because some of these people pull on you with no intention of changing, no intention of evolving, no intention of being taught how to pray, no intention of reading the word on their own, no intention of growing. And First Lady got to deal with his broken heart because y'all acting crazy and she want to get a switch and a belt. And she got to come in, smile at y'all and say, God bless you. We love you so much. Get your life together. Listen, you got to learn to appreciate your leaders. Let me tell you, I'm a preacher's kid. My mama's been a pastor's wife for over 40 years. First Lady, I think I was about 8 years old. And this lady called my daddy, all distraught and crying and carrying on. And so he went to go see what was wrong with her. He get to the door, she got on lingerie. He turned right back around, got in his car, came home and told my mama, I ain't going by myself no more. Now, I'm supposed to be asleep. So I'm hearing the grinds on. So I can't wait till Sunday, because I know my mom going to beat this lady up. She going to beat the brakes off of her. I know she is. I'm ready. I got my mama back at 8 years old, ready to fight. Messing with my daddy. We get to church that Sunday, she go hug the lady. Oh, Lord. I said, self? Myself said, I know my mama was finna put them hands on her. I done seen my mama stand in the kitchen window with a .22 rifle and shoot a snake at the tree. So I know she gonna bust her head to the white man. The snake wasn't even in the house. It was in the tree on her property. I just knew Shaniqua, Minister Shaniqua, she was about to get up. She go and just hug her just as nice. So when daddy wasn't around, because I didn't want to get in trouble for being nosy, I said, Mama, why you didn't beat that lady up? She says, what is you talking about, Dee Dee? I said, I heard you and daddy last night. You need to quit being so nosy. And she said, you don't understand it now, but you have to love the hell out of people. That's what she said. She said, I trust your daddy. That's who I need to, that's the only person I need to check is your daddy. I trust my husband. You'll learn about that one day. And then quit eavesdropping. Yes, ma'am. So he saw them rowing. They were toiling in rowing. And the wind was against them. Catch it. The thing that God created was being disobedient. He made the wind. He made the sea. And so now his disciples, his precious spiritual sons, are working to do what he told them to do, and the wind is trying to stop. The enemy is the prince of the air. And so while they're trying to obey Jesus and hurry up and get to where he told them to be, the wind decides to try to stop them. After they just got through participating in one of the greatest miracles ever written. See, you have to understand, you don't have to be the miracle. You can just play your part in it. So they just played their part in the miracle. So when y'all get together and you feed the community, you get together and you do outreach, the enemy is going to come right after that to try to make you doubt what you just did for God. But when you allow the leader to stay in an elevated place, he can see what's fighting against you. But he saw them, Pastor-elect McClyburn, he saw them rowing, not sitting. He saw them rowing. They were toiling. They were struggling trying to be obedient. And he saw it. So he said, let them see me. He walked on the surface of the water. See, you have to understand. Just because Pastor ain't with you don't mean he ain't watching. Just because he ain't in the boat with you doesn't mean he's not watching. And a leader, when he have given a directive and he sees something trying to be contrary to you being obedient, he's going to check it. But he ain't going to check it in front of you. Did you see in the text? Jesus didn't even say anything to the wind. He just put his foot on it. He didn't say anything to the wind. He didn't say anything to the water. He walked on the surface of the water, said nothing. But that, oh, we better hold it together. The Bible says it became still. See, some of y'all mad because you done went and told the pastor somebody done something crazy in the church, and they still working, they still preaching, they still operating, and you don't even understand. Well, when is he going to correct them? How do you know he did? Jesus just checked the wind and didn't say nothing. And see, you have to understand, God is about to check what's keeping you from being productive. See, they should have went crazy right there, Rita. If they had really been working, really trying to do something for God, really trying to get to the next level, they would have tore this place up. God is about to check what is contrary to your productivity. This ain't the time to get mad about obeying God because you're toiling. This is the time to rejoice for the Holy Ghost. So, oh God. And this is during the fourth watch. And the fourth watch is when the enemy lurks. That's the bewitching hour. So, of course, there'll be some contrary things going in the darkest part of the night. But it don't matter. Jesus is always going to check it. So the text goes on to say, he came to them. But before he got there, he says, hey, don't be afraid. It's me. Let me tell you how significant that is. It's better for you to deny your pastor from afar than in his face. Okay, let me say it one more time. It is more beneficial for your life to deny leadership from afar than in its face. So Jesus was not going to get that close to them so they could deny him. They could have just died right there. Ask Ananias and Sapphira. Face-to-face denial, they drop dead. But sometimes God will stay afar off and give you a chance to get your vision together. Is that Jesus? What's that meme y'all have on Facebook? He will stand afar off to give you time to adjust your sight, to adjust your faith, to adjust your doubt, so he can come closer to you. Now, the text said, this blessed my whole life. It says, but when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them. Y'all, we can get so upset, Pastor Lee, that God don't pull us out of stuff, that we ignore he's talking to us while we're in it. We can get so upset that God don't snatch us out that we can't even celebrate that he's talking to us while we're in it. Do you understand? That means that while you're in the trial, he haven't left you. He hasn't abandoned you. You ain't got a reprobated mind. You ain't out so far out there that he ain't talking. Do you know how many people go through and the Lord don't say nothing? But you in a heavy trial and the Lord says, I got you. The Lord says, be at peace. The Lord says, I'm about to fight for you. The Lord says, hold on a little while on. Yeah. Lord, help us. Yeah. That's a good place to worship. Because now I'm trying to help you. When you go through something this week, you won't trip when you hear God say, hold on. You'll be encouraged and instead of discouraged. This is what I need you to understand. First Lady, if the Lord snatches us out before time, we won't get the full blessing. Let me say that slow. If he snatches us out before time, we won't get the full blessing. So you don't you see that Jesus loves you so much, he'll let you go through the whole trial to get the whole blessing. Because the blessing is tied to your survival of the trial. How can God demonstrate who he is in you if you don't go through? Romans 8:18, my favorite scripture, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Here you are thinking the Lord picking on you. Honey, folks out here act like they anointed, but they have no power. They got protocol, but no power. They got collars, but no character. They got paperwork. And no power. And here you are, a no-name. Walking down the hospital room and cancer drying up. Here you are, a no-name. Gave somebody a sandwich and they got delivered from crack. Here you are, a no-name, and you hug somebody and they got the Holy Ghost. Here you are, a nobody, and you smiled at them and they got saved. See, I'd rather be a no-name with power than be a great name with none. I'd rather have power than a platform. Because I need to know that somebody in my family could have a disease caused to death, but the prayer of faith will snatch them out of that thing. You don't get no honorariums for power. God help us. So, it says, and he went up unto them into the ship. Now the Lord is standing right in your face. Let me help you. If you won't acknowledge him for afar, he ain't coming no closer. If you can't praise God in the trial, he ain't coming in the boat. If you can't acknowledge him within the trial, he ain't coming in your atmosphere. If you can't acknowledge him around the corner, he ain't coming in your house. If you can't acknowledge, he just blessed this brother right here and you sitting right behind him. That means he close. If God just dropped favor right here on this man in the gray suit and you sitting right behind him, I tell this place all the pieces. Cause that means he close. The glory cloud just dropped. Open up your mouth and praise him. The glory cloud just dropped. The glory cloud just dropped. The glory cloud just dropped. It's enough people in here that suffered. Now the glory's got to show up. Somebody on your road endured a whole trial. And because you sit beside them, you won't get a part of that whole blessing. Now, when he saw they were troubled, the Bible says immediately he talked to them. What are you saying, Apostle? As soon as you get trouble, God gonna send somebody to tell you, calm down. You're gonna see somebody message scrolling through Facebook, and it's gonna change your whole mindset for the day. When God sees his own trouble, he gonna show up immediately. Okay, it's about 17 people in here that's got trouble. Immediately just showed up. Oh, you can be prideful if you want to. But if you got trouble, immediately just showed up. To them 17. What's been troubling you, God gonna trouble them. Okay, let me say it another way. God gonna trouble your trouble. What has been disturbing your peace, he gonna put his foot on it. One of the greatest things I ever heard from God, when I was going through something, he said, don't open your mouth, I'm coming. He told me, Pastor Lee, I'm not going to send help this time. This time, I'm coming. Don't call your intercessors. Don't call your son. Don't call your daughter. I'm coming. And I'm here to prophesy out about 50 people in this room. God is coming. Don't you open your mouth, don't explain nothing, God's coming. The help is coming, the help, the help. The help is coming, the help, the help. You've been helping everybody and they ain't grateful, but God is coming. The text says, and he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were amazed in themselves beyond measure. I told you in the beginning of this conversation, it's in my name. I need you to understand Beyond Measure Ministries. On your 7th anniversary, walking into your 8th year, it's in your name. If you live up to your name, if you worry with pride, God is going to bless you beyond measure. In your trial, you are amazed beyond measure, because that's who you are. Who your sons and daughters are, who's amazed beyond measure. I can't measure, I couldn't have measured this blessing if I tried. I could not have measured this breakthrough if I tried. I couldn't have measured this deliverance if I tried. I heard Pastor Coach Pastor Susie O and say some of one of her messages. When God didn't give me deliverance, he gave me endurance. And God may not snatch you out when you want him to, but he will help you to endure it. See, you have to learn to find yourself in the text. Because the Bible declares that he told the devil, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Can I help you? You are a word from God. Okay, let me say that again. What's your name, sir? Rodney. When God spoke your name, every blessing that's tied to your name has to find you. So you got to be comfortable in being Rodney, because he spoke you into existence. So you can't take on a nickname, because it's in your name. The Bible declares that every knee has to bow at the name of Jesus. Now, what I find intriguing, Elder Gaddis, is this. Christ is his title, but there's no power in his title. Oh, you thought that was his last name? No, ma'am, no, sir. Christ is his title, but Jesus is his name. I dare you to holler, Jesus. I dare you to holler at his name again. I triple dog dare you to say it again. Now, I just had you call his name three times. The first time was the first day he was in the ground. The second time, he descended into the uttermost parts of the earth and got keys to death, hell, and the grave. And the third time I had you call him, because now it's time to be resurrected with all power. And because it's Pentecost Sunday, the Bible declares that to them they shall receive power. You ain't gotta pay for it. You ain't gotta tarry for it. You ain't gotta position yourself for it. Just receive it. It's in my name. See, I don't trip, but they don't call me apostle. That's just what I do. My name is Alicia. So the devil knows Alicia, not apostle. Oh, you better know what you walk in. You can be that fake humility all you want to. You better know the Holy Ghost comes with power. And you better tell the devil, listen, you already know you out of order. Get out of here. He didn't say, thou art apostle. He said, thou art Peter. And upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In other words, if God is building on you, then what's holding hell can't touch you. Folk trying to put you in hell. But Jesus said, what's holding hell can't touch me. So if the gate can't touch me, I don't care what's on the inside. It's in my name. So as my son started prophesying in the beginning of this, you need to understand you're about to be amazed beyond measure. Thank you. This year may have been challenging. It may have been trying. But the Lord has stepped into Beyond Measure Ministries to tell you today, I'm about to amaze you beyond measure. This ain't the time to jump ship. This ain't the time to act crazy. This ain't the time to be rebellious. This is the time to live by your name. Clap your hands and give him glory.